Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 98.5.
Nou, gewoonlik, as ons met ons volgende gas praat, is het baie opwindend, want ek moet sê, as ek hierdie persoon sy stem hoor, dan is ek baie opgewonde, en vir 'n klein sientjie van my wat nog altyd wou gevlieg het, as ek hierdie persoon sy stem hoor, ek onthou dit so goed as kind, as mens Luskou bygewoon het, dis die een stem wat jy onmiddellik hoor, maar ongelukkig vandag is het bietjie meer aan die hartseer kant, en ons sê die stem van Luskou in Afrika. Brian Eman is joining us this morning, and Brian, firstly, I just want to start off with saying I'm so sorry about your loss, because I know that you are so, you are friendly with most of these pilots, you know them very well, and sadly for you as a commentator, yes, you need to stay professional, but still it's somebody that you know very close to you. That you are seeing crashing in front of you. And I want to just say, I'm thinking about you and everybody, also, especially the family of the pilot that's tragically died in that terrible plane crash this weekend. But firstly, how are you doing, Brian?
Well, morning, Ruben and Sharunika. Yeah, it's a tough one. And you've summed it up. You're a good broadcaster. So you've summed it up. You've got to keep your pose, if one could use that word, while you're broadcasting. And, you know, I realize I've done quite a few accidents over the years, but this, I don't know, this was just different. And the big problem, not the problem, but the fact that I get to talk 9 out of 10 to these pilots minutes before they go into their display, because I call them on the radio, you know, and I'll say, okay, listen, I'm going to cross over live to you, and you give me your speed on the fly pass, because people love that. They love to hear the top gun, you know, the oxygen mask and the breathing. So I'm always like very close to being one of the last to have spoken to that person. And it's a tough call, but I had good support on Saturday. I'll be very honest, I was shocked. And there was a time when I just moved away. But that's once the accident, you know, once the dust had settled, so to say, I just stood there one side and I kind of shook my head and I just thought, why? You know, we don't do this business for this kind of thing to happen.
And I mean, Brian, I had the privilege, again, I'll just say it again, I had the privilege of sitting next to you, seeing you in action, and then I also went into your broadcast unit. I've seen the amount of prep that you do for an air show and how much you know about every single aircraft and every single pilot that flies by. But one can never really prepare for something like this, Brian, can you?
No, you can't. And you know that I, as you saw, I get very involved with the sequence. So if I had to take you through that sequence, you know, I was watching James, I watched how he turned, and often you'll hear me say, wow, beautiful. You know, that is because I'm expressing, because I've seen so many. So I'm telling the public what you're seeing there, you know, and I say, watch now as he positions for the famous dirty roll. Now, there's huge confusion, you know, out there. People are saying, dirty roll, you know, what do you mean? His undercarriage got stuck. And, you know, in my commentary, I say, folks, watch now as he approaches. The undercarriage is down and locked, and he's going to gently roll the aircraft with the undercarriage up, or is it down? No, it's up, because remember, he's upside down.
Inverted, yeah.
And he's inverted. And then, tongue-in-cheek, as he rolls again, I say, well, it's down for sure. But on Saturday, I watched, and as he completed, I like had this cold shiver, because if you watch the videos and you listen to me, you'll hear I went quiet, because that aeroplane started, you know, with a nose-down attitude, and you fly, you know that it's seconds. It's absolutely, you've got to pull fast, because there was hangers in the immediate front. And I thought, you know, I was watching. I wasn't saying anything. I was watching because I thought, okay, I've never seen this. He's diving down what he's going to do is pull up, you know, go over the hangars. I didn't know what was on the other side. I thought that it could be, you know, down, I don't know the area, I didn't fly there. It'd be a valley. So he dives down the valley like at Margate and places where they've got valleys. And then he pulls back on the stick and he climbs up like a lovesick angel and flicks it over. But sadly, you know, he didn't. I mean, something had gone wrong and, you know, and we'll never be able to determine. We can't say, the Board of Inquiry, the accident investigators, they'll leave no stone unturned. So, you know, to actually say, this went wrong, it was hydraulic, or he fainted, or that, nobody can say that. You know, the autopsy would probably give a very good idea of, you know, what his health status was like. And the technical people will check every nut and bolt and instrument on that aircraft and be able to say, okay, this is what happened.
Absolutely, Brian. And I think the other thing is, and that's why I'm always very careful to speculate about anything, because there's so many things that has to be taken into account on exactly what happens. I mean, I spoke this morning, I spoke to a very good friend of yours, Arnold Gears, about stuff like density, altitude, the aircraft maintenance, and the pilot and his skills. And there's so many things that you have to take into account. Like, I firstly steer away. I mean, even the aircraft's capabilities. What is the aircraft capable of doing and what is it not? What was the configuration, like you said, the amount of drag that he experienced, there's so many things to take into account, Brian.
And one, just something that I want to place on record, and I was speaking to Sune Stassen, who was the event media, and or not so much media, she was the general liaison for this event. Dr. Clive Kutsia was the man that organized it. And I was talking to Sine and I said, you know, few people realize that James O'Connell is an incredible pilot. Mm. Firstly, he was a test pilot for the South African Air Force at Overberg at the Test Flight and Development Center. He'd done his training at the Empire Test Pilot School overseas. They don't dish out lucky packet badges. You know, he earned those badges. He earned that he was good. He came back, he was a rotary wing test pilot, helicopters, and he could fly fixed wing as well. He then, when he left the Air Force as a lieutenant colonel, he joined TFASA. That is a hugely professional company. Jean Rousseau, the head of TFASA, and the people that he uses are of the best of the best. The aircraft they use are, you know, maintained down to the last washer. So people saying, oh, the guy couldn't fly, they don't know what they're talking about. This is a highly trained guy. Mm. You know, people are saying, why didn't he eject? When you are approaching, you know, you've got seconds. You've got to get your hand up, get on. I think at that stage, my gut feel was, he realized he's going down, pull back on the stick. Because the finding, and I looked at the wreckage, is going to show, you know, and will tell what actually transpired there. You know, and that's what makes it so more tragic, because, you know, one, I got the feeling that, he was trying to just pull out of it. That's my gut. That's my opinion, not anybody else's. You know, and firstly, this is not an Air Force. It's an ex-Air Force aeroplane.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and he is an ex-Air Force pilot. Mm. Social media has become, you know, a huge... It's a platform for everybody. Like, you are a professional broadcaster and you have many people that are listening to your show. What's happening now is one guy gets on social media and suddenly he's got 1.5 people following him. Mm.
Brian, I think what we're going to do is let's take a break because I want to come back to you. There's a few more things that I just want to touch on as well before we wrap up with you. Just hold on.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.
Brian Emmenis, the voice of air shows in South Africa, joining us this morning to chat about that tragic Impala accident that happened at the Saldanha Airshow this past weekend. And Brian, thank you so much for taking the time. Now, I just want to say, somebody said the following, and I'm going to read this. Somebody sent a message on a group that said, I've been to many air shows where Brian was the show commentator, a task that I think he performs excellently. I must take my hat off for him, as I think he has witnessed many crashes with fatalities. Yet, he is one that keeps the crowd at bay with a skill that he has mastered beyond my comprehension. I salute you, my friend, as you have a God-given talent that is very hard to find elsewhere. And then, the director of the Civil Aviation Authority of South Africa said the following, Poppy Kosa said, these words describe the person you are, Brian. We appreciate you so much. May God bless you always and continue to be a shining light to many lives that you touch through your God-given talent. Bless you always, Brian, and your family. And I mean, that says a lot about you because let me be honest with you. We said earlier this morning that we're really thinking about the families and the friends of this pilot that lost his life in a tragic accident. But there again, like we said earlier, like you know these guys, you know them personally very well. And I mean, for you to handle this in the way that you did professionally says a lot about you.
Thank you. Yeah, well, I try. I try, and I think that any, you know, I heard Arnie's voice now on the coming down the line there, and he'll tell you as well, you know, in the events that he does, big events, he'll tell you, you're working the event, and you stay focused, and then, of course, when something happens, and it's not very good, you've got to think fast. In my case, I realize every time that I'm commentating and then I've got to stop because now there's a problem and I have to immediately calm. Now, a lot of people are saying we had 2,000. That's incorrect. I heard that we had in excess of 4,500 and the photographs would show it. 4,500 to 5,000 people in a block. So had I lost it, you know, had I suddenly gone to pieces, you know, and I was, yes, you're right. I mean, I'm thinking of James. I'm thinking, I always get that, it's the second Impala accident that I've done. The first was Charlie Rudnick when his wing broke off at Lanseria. And I was actually, my mic was switched off, but I was saying loud, eject, eject, you know, eject. That you're trying to get that and Saturday, looking out in the distance, watching that aeroplane. But if you look at the video, time it, it's seconds. It's absolute seconds. So I never had, you know, I was still thinking, will he eject? There wasn't time. There wasn't. And then, you know, when you see that huge plume of smoke, you realize it's not good news. It's not... But you know, there's another side to this, and you might think, wow, you know, how does that happen? I did a show, I was flown over to do a show for CNN in the Middle East, and an F-16 went in straight, Block 50's F-16, straight into the ground. And everybody went out, the aeroplane blew up. Brand new F-16. And we couldn't find, I went to the scene, we couldn't find the pilot. And you won't believe that, you know, these guys sit on 0-0 ejection seats. That guy ejected. He ejected and he got out. And only after scouring part of the desert, because he shot out at a, you know, a heck of an acute angle and ended up landing in the fine sand. He got hurt. I mean, you don't come out of that 15 G's on that seat, on that, you know, that your back is compressed to 15 times his body weight. But he was alive. We airlifted him, put him in an aeroplane, flew him out to Rammstein. Was American, flew him to the Rammstein airbase. So there's always hope, you know. And when you see a thing like that, you realize miracles do happen. And you don't, you know, so for me, it's a case of I watch the smoke, but immediately I must now swing into looking after the public. And yeah. Boy, did we have problems. Oh, people were passing out. People were hysterical. Yes. And I spent quite a while, which would then take your focus off that immense sadness, because now you've got to basically save lives. Call for paramedics, call for doctors, call for... And I was amazed at how much help I got from the people around, you know, that were bringing the people that were feeling poorly, they were bringing them to us. We put out patrols of paramedics to walk the line, walk the crowd. And where there were people lying, you know, that had passed out, these guys were climbing in to help them. So it's quite a big picture. You know, it's not just an aeroplane goes down and it explodes and that's it. The after is quite big as well.
Absolutely. I want to make the most of our time having Brian on. And Brian, lastly, I just want to get to this because I think the thing is, somebody once told me, the reason why airplane crashes and helicopter crashes and stuff makes big news is because it is so unnatural for us as human beings to fly. And whenever something like that happens, it naturally becomes very good, big news. But here's the thing. I mean, situations like this, it is not common, Brian. I mean, at air shows, you very rarely see this. I mean, in your 40 years of commentating air shows, how many of these have you witnessed?
It's something that I've kept stats on everything, and I've never actually logged it. I would think about 25, give or take, 25 in South Africa. I've had accident that I did while I was at Farnborough, big one, at Fairford, and also in Alain. That was the F-16. So yeah, pretty severe, but you are right. And now let me reiterate on what you've just said about being shows safe. South Africa has had an impeccable record of safety. The last accident fatality that we had at an air show was the legendary Glenn Dell. Glenn Dell crashed at Secunda, and I'm of the, I haven't got the exact date, but I would honestly think longer, much longer than 10 years back. So for 10 years, we've had, and as you know, we average between 15 and 20 on a good 25 performances of air shows. You know, in other words, two shows or three shows at the same venue. And we have not had a single incident. Nothing. So this is the second. We opened the season at Middelburg. And this was the second show, you know, for the season, for the 2025. We haven't had an accident for a very, very long time. And no member of the public has ever been in the 40 years that I've done shows in South Africa, from the big ones, Waterkloof, Oosterplaat, Durban, no member of the public has ever been harmed in any way, you know, as a result of an accident. Never.
Absolutely. And I mean, I want to just get to that because obviously knowing a little bit about the amount of planning that goes in and exactly the pilots knows exactly where to fly so that they can keep clear of all public and be sure that public will always be safe. I mean, they've got an allocated box. Maybe you can explain that allocated box, and that's where they operate.
They have a display box. And just to show you how strict they are, we, as the broadcasters with our equipment and vans and that, are in front of the fence that protects the crowd. You were my guest. You were invited as a guest. And you had to go virtually and jump through hoops.
Yep.
You had to wear a bib. You were quizzed on numerous occasions.
Yep.
Who are you? Why are you here? Because they need to know that, you know, and I said, he's with me, he's safe. In other words, if something went wrong, I would be your babysitter to make damn sure, you know, that something. But I'll tell you what is the sad part. Look, these accidents are horrific. But four of the accidents that I've done, I've had the wives of that pilot standing next to me. And you cannot, there's no words that can describe that person stand there. She's listening to me. I'm saying, you know, have a look. As he pulls up, he's going to do the square loop. And suddenly the wing breaks off that aeroplane. And I look at her. There's eye contact. And I think, oh my heavens, what do I, you know. So now you're suddenly swinging into controlling thousands of people, watching that accident, praying hard for an ejection, and holding this woman who is shaking, you know, because that's her husband. That's the father of her children. That's something else. You know, that is, and I must thank, and I'm publicly, and I'm thanking you that I can use your powerful medium. I have Professor Dr. Johan Kutsia, who is from a company called Henley Air Helicopters at RAND. And he is the master of trauma counseling. He is the best of the best. And he, within seconds of any accident, is informed. And the first person that he calls me and he says, are you okay? You know, sit down, do this, do that, focus. You know, avoid doing, you know, he tells me what to do. And he helped me through all those. Again, on Saturday, he was at Henley, Henley on Clip or something. And he called me at Saldana and he said, look, you know, I know it's tough, but this is what you've got to do. And he said, and if you've got any of the following symptoms, go to hospital straight away. Don't leave it. Don't try and be a hero because you're not one.
Sure. Brian, thank you so much. I mean, and just the willingness to talk about this. Yeah. I know, like I said, it must be hard for you because you, like I said, I mean, numerous times, being friends of yours and witnessing this, it cannot be easy. So I hope you're going to take some time to rest and work through everything and all the best. And thank you so much for every single air show that you do. I mean, there's so many successful ones, but then there's this one that happens. And it's always a bad thing if you see that and hear about that. And we're thinking about you as well. And obviously, the pilot that sadly lost his life, James O'Connell, and his family and his friends. But thank you so much for taking time this morning. And we appreciate you as a person. And so I want to wrap up with this. Somebody said as well that they cannot, it's very simple, but so powerful. Somebody said, and I quote, I cannot imagine an air show without Brian's voice. I cannot imagine an air show like that. And I want to resonate with that as well.
Thank you kindly. And thank you for what you guys, you're a good team. And thank you for what you do for aviation.
Appreciate you. Have a good one. Cheers, Brian.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Brian.
Die Groot Breakfast met Ruben en Sharunika op Groot FM 90.5.